Championship week is complete, and we know where the Ohio State Buckeyes will be playing their bowl game. They're taking a trip to Pasadena. We'll talk about that with Jeff Fine as we instantly react to the CFP rankings coming out on Sunday afternoon. Also, we have a man on the show that predicted Quinn Ewers would transfer at the end of his freshman season. We're going to hear about why he predicted that and a whole lot more in this live instant reaction episode. My guy Jeff Hunt's with us here on Locked On Buckeyes.
You are Locked On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What is up, Buckeye fans? Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Buckeyes for the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. And today's episode is brought to you by Sonos. Sonos is the official sponsor of ESPN College Football. Go to Sonos.com to learn more. We are live on a Sunday evening, December the 5th in the year 2021. Instantly reacting to this college football playoff rankings coming out. As you know, when we instantly react, Jeff Hunt from the Off the Ball Network is with us. And not only is Jeff the guy that instantly reacts to us, but when it comes to Quinn Ewers, he predicted something before the season. We talked about it here on the show, but the man is here to talk about why he said what he said. But before we get to any Ewers talk, Jeff Hunt, how you doing, man?
Pretty good, Jay. Pretty good. I want to say great.
Good. I like it.
But it's, you know, I don't like to lie to you and your fans. It's been a tumultuous weekend, a lot going on. I love college football. There's been a lot of, controversy and things like that, which is good, which is bad, but overall pretty good. And as usual, I'm glad to be here with you to kind of talk it out. This is my weekly therapy session with Jay, and it does me a lot of good going forward.
Weekly therapy session with Jay. That has a nice sound to it. I might be able to monetize that thing as well. As the Buckeyes end up not playing it this weekend, we all were wondering where they were going to fall, what bowl game would they play. It was kind of speculated they'll be in the Rose Bowl. That is where they will be. January 1st, write this down. January 1st, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, your Ohio State Buckeyes will be playing the Utah Utes in Pasadena, California, the granddaddy of them all. I can't wait for that matchup. It's kind of what we expected, Jeff. Ohio State, Utah in the Rose Bowl, or whoever won the Pac-12, it is Utah. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm glad that it's kind of the granddaddy of them all, which is where the Buckeyes will end their season.
Yeah. You know, growing up, you know, as an Ohio State fan, the Rose Bowl always means something. It's changed over the years. It's kind of a funny history with Ohio State because there's been several Rose Bowls that we couldn't go to because we were so good. I remember the 07 season, you know, everybody's, we take care of the team up north. Everybody's got the roses in their mouth. We wind up going to the national championship game and playing LSU. So, like, there's several Rose Bowls over the year that, you know, Ohio State couldn't go to. So the record's kind of skewed. It means something. It is a great-looking game. Personally, I wish it – the same Rose Bowl was a playoff game, like that it meant a little more as far as going forward. I think if you told me again after the Oregon game, here's how it's going to wind up, you're going to go to the Rose Bowl and play, you know, the Pac-12 champion Utah, I would consider that a pretty good season. It doesn't feel like that right now, but I know overall that it was a very successful season for the Buckeyes. And let's be honest with it. That New Year's Eve or that New Year's Day money is coming in too. That is a factor. So overall, you know, I'm happy for the Buckeyes, and I hope they want to be there. That's the most important thing to me.
I think most of them, if not all of them, will want to be there. We're not sure if any players will sit out due to preparation for the NFL draft. That's going to be announced if they will or will not sit out at a later date. One thing I will say is this, Jeff, when it comes to the Pac-12 championship, imagine if Oregon was playing and Oregon's head coach is literally about to be announced. For a lot of you will hear about this on Monday, so it'll be the day of Mario Cristobal being announced as Miami's next head coach. We live in a weird world where USC just played a game Saturday night and Lincoln Riley a week earlier was announced as the new head coach after losing to Oklahoma State. You have Brian Kelly leaving his team when they were on the verge or on the brink of going into the playoff. And so you have a lot of weird things going on. Imagine Oregon playing in this game when the coach just left him. to go back to a place where he was at previously in his career. College football, buddy, it's crazy. It's wild. We love it, but I think we're becoming crazier because we love college football.
Yeah, we've never seen it like this. This is unreal. And I've asked for a lot of this stuff over the years. I believe in players getting, you know, more – I don't want to use the word power, but more say in what they do and more choices. I'm fine with that. You know, the coaches have always done what they want to do. This is the most extreme year we've ever seen. Like, we already talked about Kelly, and we talked about Riley going out. And then when the news drops about Cristobal, which – honestly, like, I know that's a different show. Maybe we'll do it on the Jay Stevens podcast. I don't really get the move outside of, like, you know, money, or I don't know enough about Mario to know what's up with that. But to me, Oregon's a far better job and a far better chance to win an actual national championship than Miami right now. So that just completely blew me away. It obviously deflated the Oregon team. They got housed by Oregon again, which is rare. You know, to play the same team two games against the same team in your conference. It was really weird. So it's been a wild week. And then the transfer portal opened up and it's starting to suck all the players in. It's been a lot to take in and still try to deal with the playoff four. It's crazy, man.
It is crazy. I've heard not rumors, but people wondering if Larry Johnson is going to retire. People wondering if Brian Hartline is going to get pulled somewhere else. People wondering if Kevin Wilson is going to take the head coaching job at Akron. Who else with Tony Alford? Will Tony Alford go with Brian Kelly? He denied Brian Kelly, and then Colorado State opens up. Will Tony Alford go to Colorado State? I mean, this is all the things that are going on in the coaching carousel. The one solid thing is Oklahoma did not, as I've heard, go after Ryan Day. I thought that could be a possibility, a little outside of the box. A guy that's come in and done amazing things, a little bit better in recruiting, a little bit better with the players as far as consistently in the season. There's differences between Day and Urban Meyer. You would think Day going to Oklahoma, coming after Lincoln Riley, that's a great way for you to keep a recruit.
Oh, yeah.
That did not happen. And that's a luxury for Ohio State because you're going into a Rose Bowl against a Utah team that's physical, that dominated an Oregon team in 8 quarters when they played at the end of the season. And you have that luxury. Whatever you think about Ryan Day is one of the best coaches or better coaches in college football, only in year 3 as a head coach. These are learning experiences for him. And Jeff, I don't know about you, but I'm excited that Ohio State has a coach at Ohio State that loves them, even after it loves them so much that he is still committed to the team and ready to go and tackle this Utah football team in the Rose Bowl. All right, college football fanatics, have you heard about Prize Picks? Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I love this, and I know you will too. Prize Picks offers every sport you can think of, like NFL, college football, NBA, college basketball, MLB, soccer, MMA, and more. Prize Picks offers more college football props than anyone in the world and offers all the star players of the Power 5 as well as mid-major players as well. Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. You pick 2 to 5 players and an over under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. And it's just you versus the projected numbers. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com or go to your app store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy.
Yeah, I hope so. And I tweeted out earlier, you know, that I said that this was a big game for Ryan Day. Like, I understand that, you know, the Rose Bowl win or loss doesn't really matter as much, you know, as a playoff win. But I think it matters how the team approaches it, how the team is ready for it, their excitement level, you know, how he integrates the young players, which is really important. You know, everybody that follows college football knows these practices to a bowl game are giant. I mean, they're essentially like an extra spring, you know, for these young guys and stuff. So I really want to see how and he's proven every, you know, both years, how well his teams do coming off this time. Like, both playoff games, you know, Day's teams have looked better, you know, coming into that, which is a great sign for him. You know, it's awesome. So I hope Day is committed. I hope he wants to stay. I really think I'd like to keep Hartline. Just because I like how good of a coach he is. And second of all, it just feels right. You know, what I would love to see, I think you know, instead of worrying, and I know we need the defensive side. That's a different question. But I would love to see a great when the offensive line. That's where we're getting all this talent, and it feels like it's not getting developed quite right. We talk about the linebackers, but I think the offensive line, like, there is a lot left on the table there to where I would like to see a guy come in and, you know, and do some things with it and get them moving around a little bit more, get them more active, and do some things with them. And I think that could take this team to the next level. It's been exciting. I mean, we're all worried about who's leaving. We're all worried about who's coming in. Heartline's a hot commodity. You know, he's got all the NFL ties, and anybody that's got NFL ties is always scary because they've got guys all around the country, you know, texting them, you know, pulling them in. You know, they've been in these locker rooms. You know, that's how Mike Vrabel winds up coaching the Tennessee Titans, yeah, you know, and not at Ohio State, things like that. So it's pretty fascinating what's going on right now. And as far as we know right now, you know, just to touch on it, it sounds like Venables is going to go to Oklahoma, mm-hmm, and coach Oklahoma. So that's a big step. I don't think it's the right move for Oklahoma or him, but I'm not saying he shouldn't take it. But that's also, again, that's a different show. But it's just – yeah, it's crazy. What all this is happening, and it's December. I can't kind of wrap my head around. This is always like after January 1st type of news.
Jeff, it's not only December, and there's a lot of crazy stuff going on. It's also December, Jeff, and we have this transfer portal that is open. Before the season, I'm going to go through this very quickly, kind of an update on what some things that have happened in the transfer portal for Ohio State. Before the season, offensive tackle Ryan Jacoby entered the transfer portal. The date I have is August the 9th, transfer to Pitt. You had Dallas Gant enter the portal September 22nd. You also had Kayvon Pope. We're going to talk about both of them at the end of the show, a little tidbit about the defense that we're going to talk about here on the show. Kayvon Pope entered the portal on September the 27th. Neither of them have gone anywhere or committed to another school. Amir Reap has some legal issues. Safety entered the portal officially on November 28th, the same day that Jack Miller III entered the transfer portal, quarterback. You also had Craig Young. I'm skipping one person on purpose. You also had Craig Young, safety. I thought linebacker. I thought safety. Had no idea what was going on with those bullet positions this year. Craig Young entered the portal on December the 4th. But the one that got everybody talking, and I'm gonna word it like that on purpose because he's had a lot of people talking about things that have not happened on the field just yet. Quinn Ewers, the highest rated recruit in Ohio State history. You all know what Jay says. Stars don't mean anything once you're on the field. And that goes the same way with Quinn Ewers. Highly touted, a guy that has potential, what has signed deals to get paid. I think it was $3 $1 million contract NIL deals that he has signed. He himself has also entered the transfer portal December the 3rd. Now notice, he has now left two football teams in 4 months. South Lake Carroll High School down there in Texas. He left them in August to join Ohio State. And now he is leaving the Ohio State Buckeyes on December the 3rd to go play football somewhere else, as it was reported on Sunday afternoon. He is down in Lubbock visiting Texas Tech. I believe Texas Tech, Texas, and then Texas A&M are his three choices about where he wants to go. And I'm going to shut up. There's a guy here with me. I think at the beginning of the show, I pointed to my right on the screen. Jeff's to my left. So let's go this way. Jeff right there to my left on the screen. Well, whatever it is, me pointing to the screen, it's my left. Maybe viewing it a different way. Jeff Hunt's here, and Jeff predicted something that Quinn Ewers is doing right now. He said it to me before the season. We talked about it on Locked On Buckeyes before the season started. But what was talked about, speculated, what Jeff said, Jeff Hunt, it actually happened.
Yeah. And I said this, and I was probably the least surprised, you know, person, you know, in the Buckeye universe when this happened. I'm like, yeah, of course, you know, he's transferring. You know, I said it. It was funny. It was one of these days where as soon as like it announced and started, you know, coming, you know, across Twitter and everything, my texts start going off. My messages start going off. Like Jeff tried to tell us, yeah, Jeff, do you see this and all this? And I was still at least surprised. Like I said it before the season, you know, Ewers he'd already committed to Ohio State, which, you know, never felt right, but I'm like, whatever, you know, he's highly touted. We'll see how the senior season goes. He's committed to Ohio State. That's great. You know, you never don't want talent. And then all of a sudden the NIL deal comes through, the NIL decision comes through in the middle of the summer. And then he needs to get out of high school because his dad's like, no, if my kid can't make money, we're out. We're not playing high school football. Again, the personal decisions, that was on them. But I was always like, well, yeah, he just happened to be committed to Ohio State when that happened. And the fastest way out, you know, was to leave and go to Ohio State. And, you know, it was a situation to where at that point, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to remember, but we didn't know even who was going to be the quarterback between, you know, Stroud and Miller and McCord and all these things. So, you know, all that was going on. There was no way that he was going to be able to leave and change the transfer and everything and make it to a Texas team. He would have been stuck in high school. So basically he had to go to Ohio State to start this process. And that's what I kept saying. This is all, this was all just about you were starting the process. Like, let's get these 3 years out of the way. He truly believes it, it's obvious that he's an NFL prodigy. That's where he belongs. That's his next step. The fact that you say he's visiting Texas Tech tells you how much he, how much championships and competition and all that mean. Again, that's fine. I'm not here to disparage the kid. I'm not, you know, Mahomes went to Texas Tech. He's doing pretty good in the NFL. There's nothing wrong with that. But that was always my point, is that it felt disingenuous at the time. As like, how fast can I get out of here? And I said it. There's quotes all over. You can go back. Please go back and listen to Jay's podcast. Listen to my podcast. It's me over time saying, I'm not even worried about the Ewers thing. Stroud's going to be the guy. He's going to transfer and he's going to be playing for Texas. Now, I actually did say the Longhorns. I think Texas A&M is probably the best spot for him. But then I started thinking about it. I'm like, well, I don't know. You slide into the Big 12, you're probably going to throw 50 touchdowns for the next 2 years and go to the NFL. So that might be the best, you know, place for him. All of his NIL money is coming out of the state of Texas. Like, it feels like he belongs to them. He looks like he belongs to them through the season. He never dug into Buckeye Nation. Like, we never grew attached to him. He never became a part of the everything. And a lot of freshmen don't. Everybody's, you know, said like he never even lost his black stripe, which, you know, obviously, if you're listening to this show, you're an Ohio State fan, you know what that means. But if, you know, if you're not an Ohio State fan, that's kind of a big deal, you know. So it's just all those little things. It was like he was just like treading water, and it never mattered. It didn't affect the team. He never became like, he never loomed in the shadows of like, oh, you know, like he didn't affect Stroud. Like, Stroud was never affected by Ewers being there. And that's one of those things that worried me. I'm like, if you're telling me this is the best quarterback, you know, prospect we've seen in, maybe Trevor Lawrence or Andrew Luck, they throw out there, all these guys, I'm like, why does nobody care? Because, you know, Jay, you said it before the show, you show up to campus. Oh, okay. Now all of a sudden you're playing with guys who have done the work, you know, who have been there, who have put in the extra practices, who have put up with the media, who've done all these things. They no longer care, you know, what your ranking was. You know, I go back to it, famous, you know, Troy Smith, the last scholarship, you know, given out in 2002, and he, you know, becomes a Heisman Trophy winner, has one of the best, you know, couple of the best seasons ever at Ohio State, gets a shot in the NFL, you know, and this is a kid that should have, you know, didn't deserve a chance. So like, you can get quarterbacks from other places than, you know, rivals.com or whatever it is what I'm saying. So I'm the least surprised by anybody in the country that Ewers is leaving. I don't wish the kid bad. I will say that, like, once you leave Ohio State, like, okay, we're done. We got to talk about our players. You know, I'm not going to follow him for the next 3 years. It doesn't matter. Like, I hope he's healthy. I hope he has a great family life and his future is bright. But I think the overwhelming story, and it'll be kind of like the Tate Martell story, it never felt like he was a Buckeye. There's just something missing there. There was a disconnect. And, you know, it was just, I think it's just going to be a footnote in his career.
BetOnline has you covered all season for more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football season continues the march to the playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, and it's all one word to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. If you haven't tried a Built Bar by now, you are missing out. They say it's a protein bar, but it does not taste like one. You have to try one of these amazing bars to believe it. Most protein bars are chalky or waxy or just plain hard to choke down. A Built Bar is soft, covered in 100% real chocolate, and when you bite into it, you know you're eating something different. It's more of an experience, one that you'll enjoy. In fact, you'd swear you're eating a candy bar. Built Bars are low calorie, low carb, low fat, low sugar, and high in protein. So all the healthy benefits on top of just being purely delicious. Another great thing about Built Bar, there are so many mouth-watering flavors, including coconut and raspberry and mint brownie, coconut almond, salted caramel, double chocolate, and even cherry barcia. This month, Built Bar is coming out with new limited time flavors every 3 to 4 days. So check their website often. You don't want to miss out. Go to built.com and use that friendly promo code LOCKED15. LOCKED15, and it's all one word, and you will get 15% off your next order. Once again, go to built.com and use that friendly promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off at built.com. When it comes to Quinn Ewers, I am a person that, as you know, and I say it on the show all the time, I want to see what you're going to do at the next level. When it comes to the NBA, guys coming from high school, the old school, high school to the NBA, skipping college, I want to see what you're going to do at the next level. Some people, they'll predict and say, so-and-so will be X, so-and-so will be Y or Z. Me, myself, and I want to see what you're going to do at the next level. I can look at you physically, and I can watch some of your film and say, well, I can speculate what you might do. I won't solidify and definitively say you're going to – a lot of times I'm just going to wait and see. When it comes to Quinn Ewers, two things pop off of the screen when I watch him play. These are mainly 7-on-7 highlights or workout drills in shorts, yeah, and T-shirt. No shoulder pads, no helmet, no defense coming at him because everybody wants to throw out there, oh, he did this at this camp. He did that at that camp. What does he do on 3rd and 8 on his own 32? Like, those are the things that I care about. And so when it comes to Quinn Ewers, I've always seen him in T-shirts and shorts. His mechanics are trash. I don't care. You try to tell me this guy's throwing – his mechanics are not good. But then also, he looks small. But, Jeff, he's a high school senior. He's expected right to look small. And I heard that it's – this is coming from somebody from Letterman Row, Jeremy Birmingham, that Quinn Ewers wanted a commitment from Ohio State for him to start, and he would stay. Bro, you're a high school senior. You're not supposed to be there. You have guys that are behind, that are ahead of you, that have been putting the work in. The only reason he got on the field this year is because Jack Miller got suspended, so he was the emergency quarterback. And I think Ryan Day wanted the guy to get on the field to at least say he got on the field his freshman year. Like, that's a badge of honor. Hey, I'm really a high school senior, but I got to play for Ohio State. Like, those are things that you walk around and say, yes. In the back of my mind, I have a thought. This is another Tate Martell. I don't want to say yes. I can't say yes or no, but I'm afraid. Now, I think that Ewers is a better passer of the football than Tate Martell. I think Martell is more of an athlete, which is why he would have been good under Urban Meyer's system if he would have stuck it out. But I wonder with Quinn Ewers if he's going to be a guy that thinks he's so good, he needs to play right away. And by not playing right away, he hops around because he can go to another school. Like, this does not have to be his only transfer. Martell's on his third school, I believe third or fourth. I know it's been a while. He has to sit out a year if he transfers again. Only reason I wonder if Quinn Ewers is another Tate Martell is because we haven't seen him in college. We haven't seen him on the field. We have not seen that. So people keep saying, well, he's this five-star, rated this, rated that. Tell me what he's done in practice. If you tell me he's gotten limited reps, we don't know nothing about what this kid's going to do on the football field. All we know about him is his dad advised him to make some money moves during his high school senior year. That's what he did. Now, making that money move, that would have been a good thing if he was there to wait out, battle, compete, and play. What has he done? He left after 4 months, leaving two teams in 4 months. That's one thing that sticks out in my mind about Quinn Ewers. He can also go out there in a couple of years. I don't think he's going to start next year. And ball out, and hey, great. You left it, made a right move. It was for you, so be it. But when he has not competed for a spot, I know I heard he was possibly homesick, and I get it. One thing I caution everybody, I don't know how Jeff feels about this, but one thing I caution every person when it comes to leaving your high school senior year to go somewhere else, maybe basketball for a prep school. Nowadays, guys are leaving high school early to go to college. Be careful, because those are memories. Those are moments you will not get back with your senior year of high school. And so Quinn Ewers, if it's true that he was homesick, he probably saw his boys down there in Texas about to win a state championship. He was going to be the starting quarterback of that team, but he left early. He might get an invite to prom, but he won't be there with his boys with the buildup leading up to prom because he's in college now. There are so many memories. There are so many moments that people miss out on. Yes, money is great, but those you're a father, Jeff. I mean, you have kids. There are memories and moments that money can't buy, and missing out on that senior year to me was a big negative. Making money moves is great. I hope he's on the right track. I hope the best for him, but I don't think that he honestly made the wisest decision in August to come to Ohio State early.
And you brought that up, Jay. I remember you saying that on the show. You said those exact words before it happened, though. Like, you were ahead of it, saying that, you know, I know you think it's one way, but – and especially if you – you know, I'm not saying don't go make money. Like, again, I'm never telling anybody that. But especially if you know or think you're going to the NFL, you're getting that money back, your signing bonus. Like, you're getting it back day one in the NFL.
Yes, sir.
So you could have – you don't have to make that choice. You know what I mean? If you're that highly rated of a quarterback, it almost feels like, I don't remember which Ball brother it was. You know, they pull him out of high school and he's like, he's not going to play high school.
The youngest one. The one that's on the Hornets now.
Yeah. It kind of feels like that situation, which I understand it worked out, but that's kind of what it feels like is, you know, it became all business decision. And I think that, I just don't think it was fun for him. You know, I don't believe that. Because here's the thing about Ohio State. We have high expectations, and once Stroud started playing good, nobody cared anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I remember, you know, after Minnesota, after Tulsa, yes, after Oregon, people were like, hey, maybe it's – then once things started rolling, it was Quinn who? You know what I mean? So, and nothing against him, but that's just how we are. Like, we want to win in the now. We recognize what we got. If Ewers was good enough to start, we would have embraced him and encouraged him on, you know – but he wasn't. So it's just, you know, everything might work out for him, but he might be it just got caught up in the wheels that, you know, I always say it. He just got caught up in the wheels of the machine. You know, he's got the money in the bank. I hope it works out and all that. But, good for CJ Stroud. That's what I said. Like, you know, he had this guy coming in, and let's not forget, I think this is a big thing. Like, me and you talked about how we love Ohio State fans. We do, but we're not all the same. And this was a big one. Let's not forget that when Stroud came in, he wasn't a walk-on. This is also him, you know, he came in highly, super highly rated kid, one of the best in the country, you know, the Elite 11, all the stuff, you know, picking up where Fields left off. McCord came in as one of the, another five star. So, you know, it's not like, you know, everybody's acting like it's the end of the world. It's like, no, that's why you build these quarterback rooms up. You know, Alabama's had the same issues over the year. You know, Hurts left. You know, yeah, they had the Tua situation. You know, all these things. So it's like, that's just a product of being one of these big super teams, you know, that we have. The Ewers thing is going to be weird. I mean, Ohio State fans will never stop following it. They still haven't let go of Burrow. Like, it just – that's just how we are. We're passionate.
Some haven't let go of Tate Martell.
Tate Martell. There's another one. That and it's, they dig in and they thing, but it just it didn't work. That's all it is. It didn't work for either side. I appreciate Ryan Day not catering to the young man, because I'm sure he had a choice there to make at some point during the season of like, let me try and keep this guy and maybe sacrifice a couple touchdowns. But then all of a sudden, you know, this team, I think, really likes C.J. Stroud. Like, this team looks like they're behind C.J. Stroud, just the way, like, Wilson, Olave, and those guys, like, interact with him. So then all of a sudden, now you're like, okay, let's take this risk because I want an extra year of Ewers, you know. But Day didn't do that. So credit to Ryan Day for not sacrificing, you know, what could, we might have. See, I tell you what, I would be a sad guy if CJ Stroud was in the transfer portal right now. Let's just put it that way. As an Ohio State fan,
I would be too. You know how comical it is? We're spending so much time talking about a guy that only played two snaps. I mean, I'm not trying to like that. Like, it's his.
It's a story, though. It's a big story. It was a big story, and in it, it's never. We're always going to be judged against it. Ryan Day will always be judged against it. If yours is great, he's going to be judged against it. If he's bad, he's going to be judged for it. You know, it's just going to – it's never going to go away. You know, I remember when Martell went to Miami, it was like, oh, if he's great and Justin Fields is bad. Like, these are decisions these guys have to make. But what I'm saying is they're the ones that are there in the building. They're the ones that are working with him. You know, he's got to go. You got to move on. Ryan Day seems like a move-on kind of guy. Like, you know, we got to work with who's in the building. You're going to talk about here in a minute how we don't know if that's right or wrong in every case, but the fact of the matter is it's like, okay, you're gone. Like, I'm working with who's in the building. That's that NFL mentality that may or may not come back to bite you sometimes as a coach.
Yeah, and I say it's comical because that's what we do in sports. Like, we talk about things that don't happen on the field because they're stories, and this is a story that I've even seen people that work for bigger net, that work for other networks, that have been talking about this very thing as well on their shows, on Twitter. It's going to happen. It's just what we do as sports fans. You know what else we do as sports fans, Jeff? Criticize things that happen during the season, like two of the linebackers I mentioned previously, and Dallas Gant and Kayvon Pope entering the transfer portal at the middle of the season. I remember this week, and I remember me talking about it. I got on Kayvon Pope for the way that he exited the team, for the thing that he tweeted on Twitter, tweeted out, for the way his antics and animation on the sidelines before being escorted off the field by a staffer of Ohio State. But maybe, just maybe, that was a sign of internal issues with the defense that people did not want to pinpoint. I have always been ultra critical of people in the YouTube comments have said, Jay, you're wrong. We're now after game number 12. Buckeyes did not play in the Big Ten Championship. And I think we have seen a byproduct of playing so many guys that down the stretch of the season, you don't know who – one, you don't, they don't know who should play. And then number – well, they know who should play. They're just playing so many guys still. But then two, I think also the stamina of the players was not up to par, because you would think Ohio State players, they're not going to be gassed in the middle of the third quarter. But Jeff, Ohio State looked tired in the middle of the third quarter against the Michigan Wolverines. Were they? I'm going to ask you this question before I give any comment. I'd like to give honor to my guest. Jeff, do you think there were issues or signs of issues internally with the defense when these two guys enter the portal, or even going back to the beginning of the season once the football started to be played?
No, I do. And I remember when it happened. And I'm not saying that I think that they went about it the right way. I think there could have been something different about it. At that time, I gave credit to Ryan Day for like, no, you got to like, yes, just what I said same. About Day. Like, you have to be like, no, we can't cater to individuals and all that. And it was easier then, because if I remember correct, that was during like, I don't know, Ohio State's up 30 points at halftime or something ridiculous. Was it the Akron game, or it wasn't? Maybe
it may have been Akron. That was a weird night game. I think it was Akron and Rutgers, one of those two.
Yes, it was the ad night, you know, and things were starting to roll. So we felt good. And it was like, oh, if you want to go, we're fine. Well, you know, I think in retrospect, we get to the end of the year, we're like, no, we could have used another linebacker. And the one thing that always got me, again, I'm not second guessing Ryan Day, because you have 100 some kids on the team. Mm-hmm. You're trying to keep things rolling. But was it Pope or Gant that apologized? I think it was Pope that actually
I think it was Pope, because he was the one that left the field.
Yes.
So I think it was Pope. Gant left quietly on a Wednesday.
That was a weird one.
He left quietly, and then Pope was a few days later.
That was a weird one, and you know, and who knows? Who knows the backstory to that? I don't even want to. But I know that Pope like apologized and was like, "I didn't handle that right." Like, it just everything got the best of him. And that was one of those to where I'm like, maybe we find a way to give this kid, you know, like to cut some slack. And I don't know what's behind the scenes. Like Ryan Day, that might have been the final straw. We don't know if he gives the coordinators, like, you have the decision, you tell me whether he's playing or not. I don't care. I have no idea how hands-on Ryan Day is with – I know if it was Urban Meyer, like, he would be aware of the situation. Like, he was – you know, he knew every kid's name and all those things. I'm not saying it's good or bad, but that's how they ran a program. That was the one that I was always like, are we sure? We sure we don't need him, you know, going through that? Did the kid make a mistake or not? We'll never know. You know, unless, you know, maybe you'll get him on the show. Maybe we'll talk to, you know, him someday, but we'll never know exactly what went down. But, and then, you know, that this is coming off of, you know, replacing Coombs as a coordinator and all these things after the Oregon loss. So all this stuff is going on with the defense. And then I think, like, looking back after, you know, especially after the last few weeks of football, we realized that the defense still had the problems and still had the same issues and probably could have used especially linebackers and all that. So I think it's fair to raise the question of what was going on that night and what was their side of the story.
It's very weird. I've never seen a season with the ups and downs like this. Last year had ups and downs, but it was also the COVID, and it was more so cancellations, not players leaving. The Brotherhood of Ohio State, I have never questioned, but I have questioned some decisions that this particular coaching staff has made this season. And I think that portion there, where you see Gant leave quietly, and then you see Pope leave in an animated way, to me, that was, one, the wrong way to leave a team. Like, that was so weird to see. But also, too, you're in the heat of the battle. You're mad because you got waved off the field. You thought you were going to get on for a sub package. Maybe you think, or maybe you know, you're a better linebacker than guys that are on the field. We don't know that because we've never seen him on the field because the coaches have never allowed him to get a significant run that way. For all that has been said, I want to go this step further. I think that this defense had issues all year long. Even if those guys, even if those players never left, never entered the transfer portal, maybe they waited until the end of the season, the defense had issues. And I do think that, and it's all coaching decisions. Like, coaches make decisions, positive, neutral, negative. I mean, they're going to have a positive or negative effect. Sometimes they're neutral, but the coaching decisions that are made will have an effect on the team. And I think some decisions that they made in the Minnesota game and then kept making down the road, you were going to have somebody that had been there for 3 or 4 years, waited their turn, Eventually be upset, be mad, be like, what are you guys doing? Not that I need to play. I'm better than him. And it's not just that I'm saying this. I've been on a team where a coach has made a weird decision. And inside the locker room, we don't know what goes on in that locker room. I'm going to take you inside the locker room of my high school football team. Inside the locker room, my senior season, there were players inside the locker room that were saying, so-and-so needs to be on the field. So-and-so needs to be on the field. I remember during a game, the starting defensive tackle was walking by one of the coaches saying, put so-and-so. Now he was saying a name. I'm keeping names out of this for privacy's sake. He was saying, put so-and-so on the field. The coaches didn't do it. And so I do know it's a fine line between coaching decision, what players say, because sometimes players are saying favoritism. Sometimes players are saying the right thing. The coaches made some weird decisions. I wonder if they altered and if they shortened down the rotation, if things would have been the same way for these guys leaving the team during the middle of the season. We'll never know, but I do believe there were signs of internal issues with this defense in the middle of the year, and it's weird to think the Ohio State defense could have been better if different decisions were made earlier in the year. Even if they made the Coombs and Barnes D coordinator change, whatever, even if that was still made, if you make different decisions prior to the season starting and then going through the season with those same decisions, if they're right, I think this defense could have been better. That's how weird the season is.
And this is 2 years in a row, Jay. Like, we talked about it last year. Like, we thought, you know, I know you know that Hilliard should have played more.
I don't think you started on that, buddy.
I'm saying, but this is the second year in a row. You know, it all falls on the head coach. Like, regardless, like, you're the guy in charge. These are question marks that I have going forward about Ryan Day. Because let's remember, he's not just, you know, this wasn't just his third year at Ohio State. This is his third year, period, as a head football coach. And he's at the, you know, I don't know, we'll say a top three program probably in the country. So these are legitimate questions that have to be asked. And are you ensuring that your best athletes are in the best position to make plays, you know, on the field? So we don't know the answers, and we never will about that situation. So is that good? Was that the right situation? Like, if we go and talk to all the players, they're like, oh yeah, that guy had to go, like, no fit, blah, 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 he was a problem. Or are they all like, no, we were never on board. Is that part of the problem with the defense? Because also, like, I know players that play and knew they weren't good enough, and that was a problem. You know what I mean? Like, we're talking a remember the Titans situation to where, like, you got to go to your coach and be like, man, I appreciate you having me in, but I'm not as good as that guy, which is, you know, kind of what we had last year. So it's the question marks on defense are really endless. And we don't, as of now, we have zero answers. You know, we definitely have more questions than we have answers right now. And it's a little scary, but, you know, you gotta trust in this, everything, and hope that it works out right, because these gentlemen are getting paid enormous amount of dollars to figure these things out.
Guys, I'm going to do a little teaser. Not going to do this with Jeff now. Might do it down the road. Jeff has been very helpful during our instant reaction shows, and I want to appreciate publicly, I'll say this, appreciate Jeff coming on the podcast. And whichever way you're viewing this right now, maybe Twitter Live, YouTube Live, or YouTube, or the audio version after the fact. We will talk more about defensive solutions down the road. There's one that I have. We're not diving into it right now. We'll do it later on. Is Steel Chambers better at linebacker or the bullet? Come back next week to talk about that. Jeff Hunt, no answers right now. If you could tell the good people where they can meet you on Twitter, and also where they can talk about meet. Well, I can't talk now. Dive into all the good stuff the Off the Ball Network is doing.
Yeah, again, you can find me at Jay Hunt, you know, 006 on Twitter if you're not watching. You can find me at Jeff Needs Sports. I do a lot of different stuff. The crazy stuff's going to come up as the football season's winding down. We kind of, you know, transfer over to different stuff. And then, of course, go to offtheballnetwork.com. There's a lot of great guys on there putting out a lot of great content and a ton of shows. You know, as basketball season's heating up, you know, you're going to love some of that. So, again, I appreciate Jay and Locked On Buckeyes for having me on. I can't believe that the reaction, you know, shows are over already. If I told Jay earlier, it flew by like a bullet train, man, but I appreciate everything you've done for me. And again, thanks for the therapy sessions, man. This has been great.
Therapy sessions with Jay. Might have to monetize that thing. Guys, you can follow me on Twitter at JSteven07. We'll be with you all week long. Those of you that are watching live, the Buckeyes have a basketball game in 30 minutes on a Sunday night at 7:30. I'm excited to watch your first conference game of the season, so I'm excited to watch that thing here. But as I mentioned earlier, Steel Chambers, better at linebacker or the bullet? We'll talk about that next week and a whole lot more, both basketball, football, all week long. You don't want to miss it.